The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So thank you all for coming here this evening. And I'm still marveling at what it's like to be together with groups of people in this way. I've now done a few in-person retreats at our retreat center, and done a few of the Sundays, and much fewer of the Mondays. And on and off since November, we've met a little bit, but I still marvel at it, and I don't take it for granted. I feel like it's a pretty wonderful thing that we come together. The first time I came together with people after. I think it was back in August. I had an occasion to meet outdoors with a group of people, and I was surprised that I was surprised. I was surprised by how surprised I was at the wonderfulness of being with other people this way, three-dimensionally. I knew it'd be special. I knew it was special to be with people in person. But I was surprised that I was so surprised. It was like I'd forgotten something. It was like I knew, understood being together with people in a new way that I hadn't known before, or had taken for granted, and it was invisible because it was so common. So I kind of marvel at being together with you all here and appreciate it, and it's very nice. And then there's a group of people also participating. Exactly, more people participating on YouTube than is here today, and so I find it delightful that we have this extended feeling of connection. And we live right now at a perilous time for this world, and I don't know if in my lifetime if I felt so much peril in the world at one time. I still have memories of, some of you may be old enough for this, memories of 60 years ago doing atomic bomb drills. And they had very special desks for students back then, because they had these desks that protected you from a nuclear bomb if they went off nearby, if you just ducked underneath it. So we would have these surprise ducking exercises in the middle of classroom. No expectation of it. Suddenly the teacher would yell out, "Duck!" And we were supposed to just dive under the table and put our arms over our heads and survive. So that was, it had a formative impact on me, that this possibility of nuclear holocaust in the early 60s that we had. My parents went through, they were young, but they went through World War II, and my grandparents went through it, and parents-in-law went through it, and some of them in very difficult circumstances, some of the most difficult. And I grew up with lots of stories of war, and it always felt like war was close by. And so we have, not just the war in the Ukraine, but that's in some ways the most dramatic for us, but there are other wars in the world. People are busy and engaged or kind of overwhelmed by the local wars that they probably don't even know what's going on in Ukraine because they're just dealing with their own. And it seems that war is a phenomena of hatred and competition, greed, power, which doesn't bring out the best in human beings. And the sad thing is war brings out the worst in human beings, people otherwise who would have been nice, and it just perpetuates awful ways in which people are together. M- I think coming out of these years, many years, decades now of doing Buddhist practice, I have a strong sense that the world that I live in begins with me. Not that, I don't think it's a conceited sense that begins with me like that, but where else would it start? But and through my experience, the way that I have contact with, through my senses with the world around me, and reading and learning about things far away, and so in my consciousness it radiates from here, that contact with the world. And the way that I perceive the world is not an indifferent bystander or innocent bystander, just seeing it as it actually is. The way we experience and see the world is very much connected to how we, the eyes through which we see the world. And if we see the world through eyes of anger, we see it one way. If we see it through the eyes of kindness, it's another way. If we see it through the eyes of greed, it's one way. If we see it through the eyes of generosity, we see a different world. We attune to different experiences, to different sights and sights and sounds and different things we notice. They've done studies of people who were actually encouraged to be kind. And when they were encouraged to be kind, they saw more kindness throughout the day and more opportunities for kindness. But when they weren't told that, the control group that wasn't told anything about kindness, they noticed fewer, less kindness in the world. And so if the world begins with us, then what do we offer this world? And I feel very strongly that if we want to live in the world that's peaceful, don't be expecting other people to make the peace. If you want to live in the world where you want a peaceful world, be peaceful yourself. Be saving the world. Save the world. But begin with you. Don't look elsewhere for it. For one thing, that means that if you look elsewhere, someone else to do it, then you're not engaged. And it's a kind of despairing not to engage. It kind of makes us discouraged and gives up our agency. And then we get disappointed when other people don't behave the way they're supposed to or are not successful. It's just so good for the human heart to be active, to be engaged, making a difference. It doesn't matter how big it is. You're not going to. Chances are, none of us here today are going to stop the war in Ukraine. But maybe we can help a little bit. So you probably know, but IMC this week has a fundraising drive for money for Save the Children, one of the highest rated charities, to help them in their work with the refugees and Ukrainian refugees. And so that's something we can do. As of, I think this morning, we've raised $43,000. It's, you know, it's a drop in the bucket for the billions that are needed. But it's something. And for the kids in the refugee camps who don't have water or don't have food or blankets or something, I don't know what their needs are. That's a pretty big deal for them. So to engage. And it's kind of it's remarkable we don't do more of it this way. Because it turns out it's good for the heart, it's good for us to be kind, to be generous. There's been studies done on kindness. It's kind of phenomenal, right? Finally. I think they did studies on anger first, years ago, but now slowly they're getting to these more positive emotions and studying them. And kindness, so one of the things researchers say is what many of us already know, that if you're kind, it can feel good for the other person, but it can feel good for yourself. The other day I took a taxi, and the taxi driver was not a good driver. The taxi driver wasn't particularly pleasant to be with, and at some point I was talking a lot in a way that was just not so pleasant. Also, I didn't wear his mask, except under his chin. I thought, that's kind of strange still, this time of day, this kind of time. And all kind, you know, I didn't quite know where he was going exactly. I had to kind of tell him where to go. And so it was a little unusual. And but when we got to the place where I was going, I just felt delighted to be able to give him a big tip. The big tip was not like, oh, you did a good job. It was like, oh, you're a human. My tip was, you're a human being who's struggling in life, trying to make life get by. And I felt that I got a sense from this as a man who things weren't easy. I said, oh, you're a human being who's trying to get by and struggling. And I don't know, the pandemic's been hard for him. And I just wanted to kind of do, I just felt kind of cozy and friendly and kind. And I said, here. And he was quite surprised to get a nice tip. And I was happy again. I was happy to be kind. It felt nice to have that kind of instinct of generosity. But when he reacted so, like, wow, it wasn't, you know, that big, but, you know, wasn't putting his kids through college or anything, but, you know, just it was just like, oh, he felt, you know, he kind of lit up. And I thought, oh, great. I did a good deed today. I just cheered him up a little bit. Did he deserve a tip, big tip? That was not how I was thinking. That was not interest. That kind of way of thinking was maybe if he'd done like an extra mile that did something really special, something, maybe I would have done the same or more or something. But my generosity was not contingent upon him deserving it. It was contingent upon here's a person who it can make a difference in this person's life and to care for him and to express some kind of goodness and kindness and to it. And I felt good. It was nice. I kind of felt kind of cozy in my heart. Oh, that was nice. I wasn't proud. It was just like, oh. And I didn't think about it again until I was thinking about giving a talk on kindness today. And I remembered the other day. It was a surprise, the way that being kind or compassionate or caring can produce some very good feelings in the person who's kind. I don't know if it's automatic, but I think that it works best to be kind if we feel confident and safe and comfortable with the situation. And if that's the case, then I think kindness creates a kind of mood or goodness or a warmth or a softness in ourselves. If we do it in a nice way, if we're kind in a kind way, it does good for us. And I remember the first time I really felt this in a strong way was I was in a kind of hike in a desert kind of area with a group of people. I think it was a led group. But it was a little bit difficult because somebody had to climb over these little boulders and like little in through these little valleys that they had ledges you had to get up and over. And there was a person on the hike who had trouble with that. So I just kind of stayed behind to help this person up the ledges and over the boulders. And it was just, I didn't think much about doing it. It just seemed like a thing to do. But then after a while, I started feeling how good it felt. I just started feeling so good inside. And I couldn't wait until there was a next ledge. And after a while, like, you know, who was benefiting who here? Was I helping her or was she helping me? Or was I the one who was fortunate to be helping because it did such a good thing to me? Or was she the one who was fortunate to be helped? I don't know exactly how she felt by it, I felt, isn't it pretty cool, pretty amazing, that if you want to be happy, one of the ways to be happy is to help other people. Be kind to other people, generous to other people. If you don't want to be happy, then it's recommended you don't be kind to anyone. You'd mess up with your lack of happiness if you start being kind. But the fact that we can be kind and it does good things for us, and then it's self-perpetuating. Once we start being kind, we start seeing the world through those eyes. We start seeing the world through those softness and that orientation. And we start seeing more kindness in the world. People do a lot of good things for each other, I mean, small things. And and big things. And so you're seeing, and they start living in a world that's not only, you know, the horrific things we're seeing and reading about in the Ukraine. That's still true. We don't want to deny it and pretend it's not there. But that's not the whole story. Even in the Ukraine, there is a lot of people who are trying to help. A lot of organizations who are rushing with their work and their money to provide for the refugees. A lot of people who are there going to help the people who are wounded. And you can see sometimes horrific pictures of someone being helped out of a building that's been bombed, and there's blood on their face. And it's kind of horrific to see, but then do you notice the person who's helping them has their arm around their shoulders and leading them out? That's pretty phenomenal that people are doing that. And in some ways, it's kind of that helping is more dramatic. It's probably dangerous to help in that way. But the helpers are the people who are making the world a good place to live in, the kind of world that we want to live in. So one of the principles I like to live by is I want to live my life as if I'm living in the world I want to be in. So what I mean by that, I want to live in a world where people are kind to each other and supportive and generous and caring. And that world begins with me being that way, being kind and generous and supportive. And that's the world I want to live in it so much. That world. I prefer that or to value that. I don't want to live in a world of violence. But I don't want to turn my back on the violence and pretend it's not there. I don't want to be the ostrich, you know, putting my hand in the sand and ignoring it. But I don't want to succumb to that, to anger, succumb to despair, succumb to greed, succumb to violence. I don't want that to come out of me into the world. I don't want that to be the influence I have on this world. I don't want to live in a world that's like that. And I would like to suggest that sometimes takes a tremendous amount of bravery to do that. People who go to war to fight are said to be brave. They risk their lives. Sometimes they risk it for great causes. What about risking our lives for the sake of kindness? What about risking our lives for the sake of peace? Is it worth, is it appropriate? Is that worthwhile? To have that kind of bravery as well, to have such a high value on love and care, that if we want to be a world like that, maybe we do have to sacrifice some things. Maybe it needs bravery. Maybe is it then foolish, even to put our lives in danger, going out into the battlefield to bring back the injured, or to stand in front of the tanks so that they don't bump some people. I don't think that kindness is avoiding. To live dedicated to kindness or love or care or generosity, and I think to really do it realistically for this world that's so horrific, we almost need like a kindness corps. You know, people who are so dedicated to it that they're willing to really give themselves over to it and perhaps even risk their lives with it. So it isn't just, you know, well, okay, that's good. I'll be kind to my cat now when I go home. It's nice to be kind to your cat, but it's, you know, I like to think if we want the world to start with us, and how we are is what creates the world to some degree. Do we have the bravery to hold on to the values that we would like to have in this world, to experience this world too? If you want to live in a world of peace, and you're contributing to it, how brave do you need to be? If society struggles with some of the difficulties of effects of the war, like, I mean, some like the rising gas prices and energy prices, do we just complain? Do we have to be brave and wise and clever about how to not use so much gasoline rather than being complained about gasoline prices? Do we find people to give them money so they can give them gasoline, people who need it more than we do? How do we live in a world? How do we make the world that we want to live in? That I think is one of the principles that I've learned from Buddhism. And one of the ways that's represented in the teachings of the Buddha is this, with the world, the word world in his language, it's L-O-K-A, loka, has the same varied meanings as the English world. English word world. It can mean the earth, kind of. But you can also say the world of my senses, you know, just what I'm aware of in the moment, or the world of my emotions. And for the Buddha, the word loka sometimes just means the direct world of your immediate experience here in this body. That's the world. But also the globe is the world as well. And here we have the same word used for both. And I think that there's something very profound about this, that they're not so separate. And so it's from this kind of idea that if you want to live in a kind world, a supportive world, a caring world, well, there's a world where you, in which you can do that, which is your world. And your world is connected to that wider world, spreads from you. And who knows who you'll touch? Who knows where it'll take you? So what I'd like to propose to you all is that if you are despairing about what's happening in the world, if you are angry with what's happening in the world, and you spend a lot of time in despair and anger, you're wasting your time. It's a kind of an indulging. It's reasonable that we feel that stuff. But it's also possible to act differently. It's possible to do and act so that what the world needs, what you feel the world needs, comes from you out into the world. And it makes a huge difference for your heart. Huge if you do something. If you're only reading the news, that's all you do. You know, that's not good for the heart. The Buddha the Buddha taught action in a way that sometimes is not so obvious when we're teaching Buddhism through a meditation tradition, where come and meditate and be quiet. But the Buddha teaching was really about action. The world begins with your action. Every day when you wake up, you create a new world for yourself. What's that world that you want to create? And each of us is capable of agency. Each of us is capable, even if it's small things. Saying hello to a neighbor. Picking up the trash someplace where no one's picked it up for a while. I have a friend, one of her things is that she goes with, periodically on the weekend, down around, I don't know exactly downtown Redwood City, but in the, down somehow east of El Camino. And she collects trash, like from the train tracks and other places, and that's what she does. All kinds of things that are possible. Now, if you're not despairing and not angry, maybe that's a different. I don't know what you know, but if you are despairing and angry, I think it would probably do you a world of good if you acted in the ways that create the world that you want to live in the ways that are good for your heart. Feed it and support it and nourish it. So that you benefit from the goodness that you do. There's this wonderful mutuality that we do good for the world. If you do it the right way, then we benefit from it. It's fantastic. It's almost like we should all be selfish in this kind of way, because in this very particular way, to want our hearts to be radiant and glowing and warm and loving. What a great way to be. And if you can be selfish around that, boy, would you do good in the world. And you wouldn't be able to stay selfish for very long, because selfishness limits the glow of the heart. So you're welcome to start selfishly. It's okay, because it'll melt away if what you're doing is benefiting yourself from love, with love, care, kindness. So, I would say the world needs kindness now more than any time that it's needed in my lifetime that I've known. This is the great need we have. There probably is no hope for us unless we have people who care and act on that care. Who love and act on that love. So I hope that this practice that we do, our meditation practice, our mindfulness practice, I hope that's a support for you, to empower you, to cleanse you of what gets in the way of your love, and empowers you to act on that, and your kindness, your goodness. So, those are my thoughts for today. Any of you have any thoughts you want to share about this topic? Yeah, you could use the mic. And I see that something funny happened with the people on YouTube. And I look like one of those mirrors in the amusement parks. It's all stretched out. I think it's a problem with our software here.
I had an occasion earlier today where I was doing something, helping the community. And this isn't about me and like what I was doing, but there's a lot of rote doing something over and over again where my body kind of gets tired. And but there's a larger community that I can interface with and be with. But while I was just mindfully just doing something over and over and over again to do something with a good cause, my brain came up with a song I haven't sung in decades. Zippity doo da, zippity day. My oh my, what a wonderful day. I kind of had a headache. My body was doing, rotator cuff was bugging me, but this spontaneously song just came up that I haven't sung truly in decades, and I don't know where it came from.
Nice.
But there was just this upwelling of a song.
Yeah, so, very nice. I love it. The one of my ideas of reference points for being happy is having our heart sing. What makes your heart sing? And so to live that way. And so I guess your heart starts singing.
Yeah, no, something just, it was weird. It was like, wow, where did that come from?
Beautiful.
And I would feel like that upwelling.
Uh-huh. Very, very nice. Thank you.
Hello, I am Irina. In my neighborhood, there is some very strange thing happened. I was going for a walk, and then I see the pile of flowers by the wall. And there is a teddy bear.
Can you hold it like this?
And there is a teddy bear, and I have no clue what was happening. And then a few days later, somebody told me that it is for the homeless guy. And I asked the lady what homeless, but we literally had only one homeless guy hanging around neighborhood. I gave him sometimes money. But I never seen him interacting with anybody, talking with anybody. But you see, person dies and people's hearts open to him. People brought him flowers. It was very surprising and just like, I don't know, it's act of kindness or definitely empathy. Very strange.
It sounds like people were touched by him.
Yeah.
In some deep way.
Yeah. And it was not just two, three, it was a pile of flowers.
Uh-huh. Nice, very nice. Someone on YouTube wrote, "Today I helped a neighbor whose electric wheelchair ran out of charge near my house. It felt good, even though I was busy, but the connection was super sweet." I bet that person didn't wake up in the morning thinking they were going to do that. But who knows what will come our way? Sometimes I like to think that it's good to be ready. It's good to be in the world ready to be kind, ready to be loving or caring. And sometimes we're not in those states. We're harried and busy and trying to do too much. And then the question is, what's the most valuable way to be? And again, it's kind of in the theme of the talk. I think one of the most valuable things to ways to be is to be the world that you want to live in. And if you want to be in a world where you're running after your to-do list, trying to do as much as you possibly can through the day, and just being harried and busy, well, that's the world you want, I guess. There's a lot of people around here who can help you do it well. So the people are skilled. I don't think that's the world we want to live in. So please, your life is so important and so valuable, and each of you is important. An important part of this world, important for making a difference for this world. And who knows who you're going to touch? Who knows whose life you save or close to it? Who knows what your smile, your care, your goodwill can do? Who knows when you give a little bit more than is expected and someone smiles and is delighted and feels, wow, there's good people in this world. It's not all people who are just trying to take advantage of me and argue with me because they feel like I'm charging them too much for driving them someplace. There's other people too. There's kind. The world has kind people. It has helpers. So when you see the photographs from the Ukraine, be sure to recognize the helpers as well. Maybe they're the ones who are the most brave. So, thank you for this evening. Thank you for being here, and I look forward to our chance to sit together again.